to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Holics, Articles of News for the week of the 11th of July. It's me, Richie T, joined by Molly Jenny.
Hi.
And who's this? There's a young gentleman here, a young squire.
Yes, he's joining us today. He joined me on the train ride up from Provo today.
Oh, so you know him?
Yes, I do know him.
Is this your man friend?
Are you my man friend?
Are you?
Yep.
You guys are out on a date? How cute. What's your name?
Quinn.
And how old are you, Quinn?
9.
So, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I know that you're going for younger, but this is your son, right?
Correct. This is my son.
The youngest of the wad?
No, I have another child, a daughter that's 18 months younger than Quinn.
Do you like her very much, though, Quinn?
Yeah.
Yeah, you like her okay?
Yeah.
Is she your favorite? Who's your favorite sister?
I don't know very much.
You don't know very much? But you got to have one that's your favorite, right?
Well, Sydney.
Okay.
That's the one.
Is that the one that's 18 months younger?
That's right. They're best friends.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah. Stick with her. Okay. The older sister, you'll never see her again, all right? You stick with the younger sister because you'll see her a bunch.
Okay.
It's articles of news today, and I haven't seen you for a little while, Molly Jenny.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
What's your deal?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so it's been so long. I have things. Here's what. What do you want to hear about? I was in a play. I ran Ragnar. My kid got baptized.
Well, how about in that order?
Okay. I was in a play.
Okay.
It was called A Month in the Country.
Now, we talked about that the last time you were here, I think, was right as you were going into, like, tech or something like
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah. It was an incredible experience in that we had 12 rehearsals total.
Uh-huh.
12.
Those are my favorite kind of plays, actually.
Right?
Where you're like, okay, we all put a lot of outside work in, but we didn't have to be together at a mandated time.
Exactly. And yep. Everyone showed up in every way.
Cool.
So every rehearsal we had, it was like, well, we did what we were scheduled to do, and we've got 45 minutes left. What do you know? The run was really quick. Tuesday,
comedy,
Wednesday, Thursday.
Comedy, hilarious.
It's this script that's a few hundred years old, but it still relates. It's this Russian tragedy, which
hilarious.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, there were really funny parts in it. And, yeah, you know, everyone's in love with the wrong person. And,
of course.
But the yeah.
No one's ever in love with the right person. Have
ever.
You noticed that?
Ever.
You never see a show where it's like, hey, and they loved each other and there was no sort of conflict.
Nope. Exactly.
Nope.
What kind of show would that be?
Not real life, that's for
boring.
Sure.
Boring. So, yeah, I mean, I did that. Yeah, quick run, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I mean, the first time we ran the show through from beginning to end was the Saturday before.
Okay.
First time we did it without stopping was the night before.
You made big money.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Loads.
Uh-huh.
Loads.
Did you go see your mom in that show, Quinn?
Yeah.
How was she?
Good.
Is she? Was
yeah.
she the best part of the show?
Yeah.
That's what I figured. I knew she would be.
Mm-hmm.
He's biased a little bit, but I bet that
a little
would be.
Bit, yeah.
Okay, so Ragnar then?
Yeah, then I was... We've talked about Ragnar before on the show, for people who don't know what it is, right?
It's
a relay race.
It's a typically between 24 and 36 hour relay race,
mm-hmm.
if you're doing it with any sort of time, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Our team finished in 31-21.
You get three different legs.
12 people, two and vans if you're smart.
You can do it six people if
yeah,
you want.
If you're,
that's ultra.
If you're ultra crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had 12 people, two vans. I was in van 2. I did it 3 years ago. I was in van 1. So
people you know?
One person I knew at the beginning, and then I met the
And then
people.
I became best friends with everybody
right?
else.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
And we're going to be best friends for life. In fact, we've already made plans.
We're
for
running
reunion.
A half marathon yeah. in a few months together.
Blah.
So,
but a good experience?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really great.
How did you... So your second leg then, van 2, you're in the middle of the night.
Middle of the night, yeah.
How was that? It's a little trippy, isn't it?
I loved it. It was, I think, by Echo Reservoir, uh-huh. I guess. I think that's a place. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was lit by a full moon. You
oh,
know,
man.
At one point, a deer ran like 20 feet in front of me, like across the road.
Scared
I was like,
to
whoa,
death?
Whoa, whoa. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was great. So
did you
cool.
do the 10 miles on the far side of Echo? Were you that leg?
No.
Okay.
Nope. I was, my longest leg was middle.
Your left one.
First leg, middle of the day, Friday, Pine View, like 6.5 miles.
Bull.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Nice and hot.
Yeah. 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 But no, it was really fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then kid got baptized.
Yeah,
which kid? This one?
No. The youngest.
Oh, you didn't want to get baptized? Quinn didn't want to do it?
I already did.
You don't want to do it again?
Well, when I'm 12, I will.
When you're 12, you will?
Yeah, will you when you're 12?
Well, I don't know what day exactly.
Oh, I mean, will you get baptized for yourself or somebody else?
For the dead.
Oh, for the dead, right.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I think you may need to teach him something. he's like, whenever I sin, I can just go get baptized again, Mom.
That's what the youngest said in her interview with the bishop.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she's like, I just think I'll like it so much that I'll want to do it again.
Yeah.
All right.
That's valid.
Sure.
Which temple's your favorite, Quinn?
I think the Salt Lake.
The Salt Lake one?
Yeah.
He told me something about it when we rode by on the train today.
What? It took 40 years to build.
Yeah. Yeah. Took forever.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that Salt Lake Temple was the first one in Utah. Not even true.
Mm-mm.
St. George.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Did you know that, Quinn?
No, but, last Sunday, I learned about all of the temples in Utah.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
And Salt Lake is your favorite one?
Yep.
Okay.
Nice.
That's fair.
Sure.
What's your favorite Utah temple?
My favorite Utah temple?
Uh-huh.
The Temple Neckel.
Okay.
Provo City Center.
Yeah, you would be.
Yeah. I love it.
My heart goes to Jordan River.
Yeah, it's close.
But I don't know that it's my favorite.
Oh, okay.
But that's where my heart belongs.
Yeah, it's because it's your temple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like Salt Lake a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it took 40 years to build, you know.
I've heard that.
Yeah, Quinn told you.
Oh,
told me that.
He taught me that.
Told you that, too, mm-hmm. apparently on the train ride.
Yeah.
And I like Manti quite a bit.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a beautiful temple. I feel like that gets overlooked like a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Because I like it because it doesn't look like a temple.
Yeah. It
looks like a castle.
It does look like a castle. And I don't know. A surprisingly high number of people that I know are like, well, yeah. And then I got married in Manti.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like they could be from wherever in the world, but they're like, but I got married in the Manti temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To which I'm like, that must have been the most inconvenient day of your life
and everyone else you know.
In your family.
Yeah, really. No, we're going to Manti.
Yeah,
no,
nothing is there.
It's how, maybe it's how you do it, like if part of the family's not LDS.
Yeah.
So that then you invite everyone to come to the Manti temple, but then a lot of the LDS family doesn't come. So then you're like, listen, I know you're upset, family.
Yeah.
But no one came.
Yes.
Because it was in Manti. Maybe right? That's how you get around that.
Sure.
Like passive aggressively uninviting LDS folks to your temple marriage.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Could be.
I know it's probably not convenient for you, but we're going to get married in Manti on a Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you
Can
mind?
Can you make it? Around lunchtime.
Yeah. Yeah. About 11. So you have to take the whole day off.
Yeah.
And then what was the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Punky got baptized.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So is that cool?
Yeah. It was neat. I mean, it's kind of this, you know, thing where 5 seconds ago, my oldest was getting baptized. And
right.
Now my youngest has been baptized.
Yeah, they're all accountable now.
Oh, yeah.
Do you realize that?
Well, I mentioned to someone, like I came the week before her baptism, I came across this thing that I had written like 10 years before where mm-hmm. I was like, only one more year till my oldest is baptized. And I was worried that I hadn't taught her everything that mm-hmm. she needed to know.
Which you hadn't.
Of course not.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like this one was so much more relaxed and just like... Like, well, of course I haven't taught her everything she needs to know because I have an increased learning of increasing our learning. Like,
yeah.
it's all the time. And but it was
did you cry?
During the baptism?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No? Afterwards?
No.
No?
No.
Since then?
No, I never cry.
Okay.
I'm a robot.
Yeah.
My cold dead robot heart.
These tear ducts are empty.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional? No. Was it emotional?
It was special. I mean, okay. It was also different.
Right. Well, because the ex is the one doing the baptism
yeah,
and you're there.
Yeah, our family dynamics have
sure.
have completely shifted. They were on the cusp of shifting when Quinn got baptized.
Right.
But yeah, it was this thing where, you know.
Everybody play nice?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, in fact, I'll share this little thing. I'm not the mom who invites everyone over after.
Yeah.
I'm not like, hey, 70 people, I would love to feed you.
You don't like to do that?
No. I'm also not the person who invites 70 people to
right.
the baptism. That's just, you know, that's fine.
I am that guy.
Are you?
I am every bit that guy.
Great.
If I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it allows, I'll be like, hey, you know what? I know it's your first day at this ward. My kid just got baptized. Want to come?
Awesome.
I don't know you, sir. We're just visiting. No, no, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. It's croissant with ham. Wait, you don't want a croissant?
What's wrong with ham salad, y'all? Gross.
So, no, I'm all about that.
Yeah. I do, however, say, hey, who wants to, go to, you know, my kid gets to choose where to go to lunch afterwards is the thing. So, she chose Chuck-A-Rama.
Sure.
You know, it's always fresh.
Kids love Chuck-A-Rama.
They do. And
For people who don't know what Chuck-A-Rama is, it's a buffet.
It's a buffet is the thing. Or if you're a senior citizen, it's a cafeteria.
Yeah. Well, you can get as much as you want.
You really.
And that's what kids really love.
Yeah. And you know why I like it? Because my oldest had like 7 plates of just like chicken.
Yes.
She just loads up on the protein. And then this guy over here has like garlic bread and french fries.
Yeah. Way to go, Quinn.
Right.
And because your mom can't boss you at a buffet, right?
Yeah, but honestly, I really think that the lunch part was my favorite.
Yeah.
Of the whole baptism? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the covenants, whatever. Yeah. There's lunch on the line.
Yeah. Right?
It's
the thing. It's delicious. So speaking of this kind of family dynamic, I had a talk with my daughter beforehand about, several talks, but about how the baptism would go. And
you'll go underwater.
Yeah, right. But it was, do you know who's going to baptize you? Yeah, my dad. Yeah, do you know why? Because he's got the priesthood. Yes, yes. And we talked about having witnesses. You know, two priesthood holders have to watch you get baptized to make sure it's done correctly and all that stuff. Can you think of some people? You know, I didn't have any family coming into town. I checked with her dad. He didn't have any family coming into town. And she asked if the man that I'm dating could be one of the witnesses.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were dating a man.
I am dating a man.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
It's great.
Great.
Really great.
I didn't know that you were dating a man. That's exciting to know about.
Thank you. Yeah, so she asked him, and he said yes, and then we talked about who else, and another gentleman who's...
Were you another man you're dating?
Another man I'm dating, which is weird because he's in my bishopric, and I'm really good friends with his wife.
Super weird. So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah, that's fine. But he was conducting, and so he was the other witness, and it was great. But for Chuck-A-Rama, she's like, can we invite this man I'm dating?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, we can. So then after the baptism, and we did the confirmation the same day. A lot of times, they're doing it now, like in sacrament meeting the next day, but
sure.
We did it that day. I was helping her change her clothes, and she said, can I invite dad and stepmom to lunch?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, do you want to? Well, yes, I do. And I said, sure, it's your day.
Yeah.
So we had a lunch with...
How was that?
Listen to this. Me and my kids, the man I'm dating, their dad and their stepmom.
Yeah. That's not... That is not the first time that is not the last time that will occur.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I've mentioned this to just a couple of people, and it's very like, that was awkward. No. Here's the thing. I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because it was... for my kids... Here they are having this lunch, and they can see their parents getting along with each other.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so for
being
them.
Being civil, responsible, yes. Not immature adults.
Yeah. Not, no cattiness or pettiness.
Was there really not any catty or pettiness?
I was quiet, and so was their dad.
Uh-huh.
But there wasn't any.
So it was maybe a little bit more quiet than you normally would be, but there wasn't any like, meh, that's good.
Yeah, not even passive aggressively,
cool.
not subtle. Like, it was just really like for me, I can only speak, from my perspective, but it was very like kind of like, okay, deep breath. Mm-hmm. This is new.
And it gets way easier because my parents who have been divorced now for 20 years, like they come to lots of things where both people are there, and it's just like,
yeah.
Yeah, of course. Of course they're going to be there, and of course they'll be there.
Yep, because it's all the parents. Right?
Yeah.
I showed one friend the picture, because there's a picture.
Of course.
And she just looked at it. She goes, this right here is the American family.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, it was all positive. It was great.
Well, good.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad we got through your stuff.
Yeah,
Quinn, what do you think about all that? Was that all right?
Yep.
Yeah, was lunch good?
Yep.
Nice.
What about you, Richard?
I went away for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I went up to Garden Valley, Idaho.
Yeah, the cell reception isn't great up there.
No, it's terrible. Uh-huh. We were talking and it hung up,
totally,
and then I couldn't get it back, so
sure,
there's
fine.
That. Garden Valley, Idaho is Nowhere, Idaho.
Yeah, and how did you discover Nowhere, Idaho?
So I have a friend from Boise.
Mm-hmm. Boise.
And what's that?
That's how I pronounce
Boise.
It. Boise.
Who's
French.
Talked about this theater up there, and I decided, you know what? I've been traveling a bit and seeing some theater. A couple weeks ago, I was in southern Utah seeing Shakespeare plays and stuff like that. I thought, you know what? I think I'll travel this weekend to Idaho. So I went up there and camped one night, mm-hmm. and saw Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, which is a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, here's the thing that I've decided about me and vacations/camping. I don't do well with just weekend vacations, mm-hmm. because, I mean, even though I can leave fairly early in the day on Friday because my day job, I can leave at like 10 in the morning, right? And it's right. still a full day's work.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get wherever I need to be, and then I have all day Saturday. But the problem is I don't sleep enough. So if I know I'm sort of on vacation, I do what I ended up doing this last Saturday, which is sort of waking up and making breakfast there at the campsite and then going right back to bed for like 4 hours. And
yes.
then waking up in the afternoon going, you know, there some of the best river rafting in the world apparently was right by where I was staying, and I couldn't be bothered because I was too tired.
Shoot.
So then Saturday night I went and saw the show The Scarlet Pimpernel, which I'd never seen before.
Uh-huh.
And it was funnier than I thought. I thought it was going to be far more dramatic than it was.
It is. It's like delightfully funny.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh. And it was cool. So here's the thing. The theater there, it's not the most phenomenal theatrical productions you've ever seen,
mm-hmm.
but it really is this awesome thing for high school and college kids,
mm-hmm.
where they go and they get paid, I think it's probably a couple grand, maybe, but they stay up there the whole summer,
mm-hmm.
and you're just up there staying in trailers,
mm-hmm.
and you do the shows every night.
Awesome.
You're waiters and waitresses, and you sell the popcorn and stuff in the intermission, and then you perform on stage with your what seemed to just be your best friends the whole time.
Yeah.
Really cool.
That seems cool. I have some friends from UVU who have done that, like, you know, like at Yellowstone,
yeah,
for the summer.
Exactly.
Same thing. Yeah.
And it's just, it was super cool. Something that my mind has been a lot on recently is kind of this promotion of the arts for youth and for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a place that has almost gone out of business a couple of times.
Oh.
But they managed to, you know, the community will keep coming behind them, and people who have done it in the past will keep coming back and donating and doing different things for them. So it's really, it's one of those things that I'm like, man, that those folks are making a difference. You can tell that they've sacrificed quite a bit to do that theater up there.
Yeah.
And they're making a difference for people. So
I love that.
Cool.
I love
yeah.
that. That's great. Speaking of when you were in southern Utah, I
yes.
heard you and Rob talking about Peter Pan.
Uh-huh.
There's a production of Peter Pan right now at the Hale Center Theater in Orem.
Uh-huh. I've heard of that place.
It's a remount from a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
It's unbelievable.
Really?
It's pure magic. I recommend it if there are any tickets even left.
Okay.
Yep.
So then other than that, I went to church in Middleton. That's a city, town, probably,
okay.
township
uh-huh.
in Idaho.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I need to start loving church more in Utah,
because mm-hmm.
I really love small town church. Last week I went to the Beaver Second Ward
okay.
In Beaver, Utah,
mm-hmm.
which still is Utah, but it was small town
yeah.
Utah, so I loved that. And mm-hmm. small town Middleton, Idaho church was equally as enjoyable, but this Sunday I'll be back at my own ward,
mm-hmm.
and I need to love it more.
You need to love your ward more.
Uh-huh.
So what's the appeal then of something not
you
your
you never
ward?
Know what's going to happen. Like, I feel like I know what's going to happen in my ward this Sunday, but mm-hmm. I feel like I never know what's going to happen when I go to small town church.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. It's been a while since I've been, well, I guess a year or so since I've been, since I've attended my home ward that I grew up in New York. But I know over the years, like, I've gone there, and it's just, you know, you're in Relief Society, and there's, you know, I hear the sound, I look over, what is it? Oh, someone just, like, cracked open a can of Pepsi.
Right.
Cool.
Because they were thirsty in the middle of small town church in New York.
And they had a Pepsi
yeah.
in their bag or whatever.
Because they were thirsty.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing wrong about it.
No,
there's nothing that says you can't.
It just would never happen in a million years in my ward in Provo.
Right.
Not ever.
Nope.
And I just, yeah, things like that.
yeah. It is exactly things like that.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Just fun. Mm-hmm. Let me share a couple emails before we get started. Then we'll take a break and do actual articles of news.
Okay.
This one from Rachel. She emailed us in, contact@theculturalhall.com. She says, hey, you guys. This is talking about last week's articles of news. I got to call you out on this one. Pro or anti-Trek, a woman died. We were talking about the woman who died. She gave up a week of her life to volunteer so that the kids in her stake could have this opportunity, and she died. A 29-year-old woman, a mother of two small children, basically someone like Janae, died. And not a single one of you offered any kind of condolence, so debate the merits of Trek all you want, but there's a man who is now a widower with two babies who have to care for them on his own. Maybe just take a second to honor her and send your prayers to the family. That's all I'm saying. Thanks for a great show, Rachel. Rachel, you're right. I think if you'll listen to the articles and news the week before, we did pay tribute, but if not, certainly thoughts, prayers, and condolences out to that family. That would be a hard thing to do, especially when you consider, you know, you send someone out on Trek. You don't think, hey, you know what? That person may not come back from Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Like, I feel like under other circumstances, you'd be like, oh, hey, you know what? You may not come back. I want to say goodbye.
Right.
But Trek, and especially when you feel, I feel like when I'm doing stuff on the Lord's errand, I sort of feel blessed a little bit. Like,
okay.
I'm not going to die because I'm doing what God wants me to do.
Sure. Certainly missionaries never die.
Right.
Wait.
Yeah, no, but you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, it is that sort of false thinking where it's like, well, I'm not going to die because I'm doing what God wants me to do.
I'll be protected.
So, yes, definitely the thoughts and prayers with that family.
Yeah, that's it. I listened with great interest to all the debate about Trek that you guys were talking about.
What do you think? Where are your thoughts?
I hate it.
Okay.
I think it's stupid. I think it's disrespectful to the pioneers that we say that we are honoring.
Okay.
I think that they, in their spirit beingness right now, look at us and say, what the heck are you doing? We did this so you didn't have to, you dummies.
But you do agree about the unplugging and being able to get to know kids, right?
I guess. I don't. It's LARPing, isn't it? Like Mormon LARPing.
Sort of.
Sure.
But
okay,
really,
but the
like the turning, but turning off the phone and unplugging and getting to know people and breaking down the barriers, which it does.
Sure.
I think is
we don't
insanely
need,
valuable.
We don't need to go to Martin's Cove to do that.
Okay.
We can,
or do we?
No, we don't.
Because if I was in Provo, from Provo, and did something in Provo, I don't think I would be as inclined to turn everything off and leave it behind.
Hmm. Well, that might be...
I don't need to do a Trek necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But there does need to be some sort of removal, I think.
Yeah, I mean, but you can... I mean, you look at Scout Camp or Girls Camp. Those are young women camp.
He's having a Pepsi.
He's having a Pepsi over there in Relief Society. Good job, son.
Small town podcasting.
Yeah, uh-huh. Stupid Trek. Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, have some, self-restraint and...
No, sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
sure, if I could just have self-restraint.
Yeah, I mean, and I do understand that that is really difficult for a lot of people to unplug. Not just teens. We kind of give this, you know, like the kids these days thing. You know, it's hard. It's hard for me. I hate not... I don't know. Yes, there is value to unplugging. There's value to getting to know youth, especially, you know, when especially these activities that are for their benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But I read like Facebook updates all the time from people that are like, I just spent a weekend in nature and I unplugged and I can't tell you how fulfilling that was. That drives me nuts if I can't connect with, you know, at least have the potential to if needed. Mm. I hate it.
Okay.
I don't know. But I'm also able to just... turn my phone off if I don't feel like using it.
Right.
I don't know. It's different for everyone, but yeah, no Trek for me. Thank you very much.
I'm going to put you on the spot in a second, Quinn. Do you sing?
Sometimes.
Do you sing the primary songs?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm going to put you on the spot in a minute, all right?
Okay.
This is another email. This is from Annette. She says, hey, not sure if your old Cultural Hall addresses are working, so I wanted to pass on a couple of things.
Who's Annette Lyon?
Annette Lyon.
Hey.
She calls you out a little bit in this as
okay,
well.
Let's do it.
Not calls out, pays respect, I think.
I love her.
Anyway, yeah, it's contact@theculturalhall.com now if you want to get in touch with us. Number one, she says, I thought that you and DJ Rob in particular would be interested in how the primary song Follow the Prophet was written. All right, so do you know the song Follow the Prophet?
Yeah.
Can you sing me a little bit of it?
Oh, I'm a little bit nervous.
Okay. That's fine. You own it.
Did we hear Follow the Prophet today? Anywhere?
When I got in the front runner, there were some missionaries doing a little thing of Follow the Prophet.
Really?
Missionaries on their way from the Provo MTC to the airport today singing primary songs.
Of course there were.
Yep.
So do you remember? I'll help you out a little bit. It goes, we'll just do the chorus, okay. Right? Follow the prophet, follow the prophet, follow the prophet. He knows the way.
Don't go astray.
Oh, don't go astray. That's right, because the second verse is, follow the prophet. Hey, follow the prophet. Hey, follow the prophet. He knows the way. All right, so Annette says, it was written intentionally to sound Jewish.
Ooh.
Yes. Church leaders specifically asked for it to sound like that. And so here's a little bit about it. The composer, Dwayne Hyatt, who lives and grew up in Provo, is a pretty remarkable gentleman. For that matter, he'd make an awesome guest, says Annette. He has 15 children, and his sweet wife, Diane, died of cancer when the youngest was still in diapers. A remarkable woman named Sharon married him shortly after and took on the job of being a mother to a true wad of kids. Shout out to Jenny Molly.
Yay!
The two oldest daughters were in Young Women with me, and one moved back to the ward after getting married. Dwayne has been a part of 3D's musical group for a long time, often spoken at EFY and other events, sometimes telling stories and singing songs in the character of Abraham Lincoln, who he apparently looks like. Anyway, so that's a little bit about the song Follow the Prophet.
That's fascinating.
Number two, after listening to the hilarious discussion on the June 27th articles of news regarding Disney princesses and gender stereotypes, I had to pass along a link, and I'll pass that along in this episode too, to a podcast episode that two Mormon brothers who are both successful novelists and friends did on that very topic. In their pop culture podcast, Dan and Robinson Wells rank all the Disney princesses using a rubric that measured everything from kick-buttedness, while Sleeping Beauty utterly failed at, to hotness, to what kind of example they were to their daughters and how fun they'd be to hang out over lunch. The episode is both hilarious and fascinating. Look at the Disney princesses and definitely worth a listen, so I'll include that link in this episode. Both would make interesting guests, she says. And then finally, in my last email, which could very well be lost, she mentioned that her high school friend, Jenny Reeder, is one of the first two women ever hired as the church's women history department.
Right.
Now, she believes, it's been expanded to 4 employees. She has a PhD in women's studies and is one of the smartest and coolest people that you'll ever meet. Some of the documentary sessions between general conference sessions have had clips of her talking about Relief Society and women in the church. She's battling her third bout of leukemia now, but pushing onwards with her important work. If you're interested in talking to her, I might be able to connect you. And then she has a picture that we took at the Best of State with her, with us. So
wonderful.
We'll share that on our Instagram, and you can be able to check that and get those links at theculturalhall.com.
Thank you, Annette. Congratulations to Annette for being a USA Today best-selling author.
Shut up!
For her mail-order bride collection.
Way to go,
Annette.
6
historical romance novellas set in the Old West.
Nice. Congratulations, Annette. And let's take a break. We'll come back with actual articles of news.
Perfect.
Hi, this is Dan, the laptop man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City.
Consumer alert! Consumer alert!
Are you suffering from excruciating headaches? Are you having a hard time sleeping no matter what you do? That old small computer screen from years ago could be your problem, exposing you to a huge amount of radiation and eye strain, leading to headaches and loss of sleep. Screens are something a lot of people overlook because they really don't break a lot, so they keep them for years. At PC Laptops, we only carry screens that we've tested on our own eyeballs. Right now, purchase any PC Laptops desktop and get a free monitor size upgrade. That's right. Buy a 24-inch, get an upgrade to 27 inches for free. We have brand new PC Laptops desktop computers from only $799, and they're covered forever with a lifetime warranty. That's right, $799 covered forever. So run into any PC Laptops location right now or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we love you.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
All right, I'm going to start off because this is a lame joke, but I saw this headline, and you can find this link as all the articles at theculturalhall.com. This, from New Jersey, there's a new bishop installed at the Roxbury Church, and... And everyone's neck got tired, and it was, what's up, Bishop? Two, three, four. What's up? Two, three, four. Congratulations to Bishop of the Ledgewood Ward of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Marcus Wagstaff. He's moving. Moving to Arizona. It's with heavy heart that they leave New Jersey and the Roxbury community. You know who's going to be in his place?
Hmm.
President Bruce Jones.
Hey.
Yeah. What's
two,
up?
Three,
two,
four.
Three, four. Lame joke.
I love
I'm not explaining it.
I love it.
I wanted to share this with you. I really, you know, it was sort of a light week in news, but did you know the writers of Despicable Me and The Secret Life of Pets, Mormon?
No.
Yes. The creative masterminds Cinco Paul and Ken Dario. Release another one of their Hollywood movies, The Secret Life of Pets. They have an impressive resume that includes over 10 films, including Horton Hears a Who, Bubble Boy, Santa Claus 2.
Whoa, back up.
Yeah.
Bubble Boy, like John Travolta Bubble Boy? No, that's Boy in the Bubble.
Yeah, no, Bubble Boy.
Okay.
Horton was their big break.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Anyway. Quote, as Ken and I were writing the script, we saw a lot about faith, hearing a voice that nobody else hears. It's like Joseph Smith saying he knows that he had seen a vision even though nobody believed him. Those words of Joseph Smith actually did ring true in our heads. But this wasn't the only flick where faith played an important role. Continuing on, Paul gives another example of when the two's faith influenced a popular movie, one whose sequel grossed nearly $1 billion at the box office. Despicable Me, which in many ways was the most personal thing we'd ever done. I have three kids, and Ken has three kids. To me, there's a lot of gospel in there, maybe not specific to LDS teachings, but about the power of love to change a person from bad to good, and just how every man has to abandon his villainy when he becomes a dad. There's also a scene where the three girls are saying a prayer. We wanted strongly to have religion in there. Religion is a very strong part of the lives of people, and it rarely gets any sort of real representation in films and TV. Paul and Dario said our beliefs have definitely had an impact on our careers, most obviously in the types of projects that we've chosen to work on.
Great.
So go out and see a movie supporting some Mormon folk.
No kidding.
What do you got?
It's time to preserve the world's records.
Yes.
Yes. So there's this worldwide indexing event. We will have this on theculturalhall.com, but if you go to familysearch.org/worldsrecords, that's an S at the end of world and an S at the end of record.
So she just doesn't have a lisp. It's world's records.
Yes, exactly. I do have a lisp. Soon you can watch athletes break records, but you can also preserve a different kind of record for generations to come. During 72 hours from July 15th to 17th.
So Friday to Sunday.
Help us index the world's historical records, making them freely searchable on the internet and helping families worldwide find their ancestors. So essentially it's this, hey, you know what? Indexing is always available to do, but we're going to do this push to get this done, get a lot done over one weekend. So yeah, familysearch.org/worldsrecords. You go down to the, you know, you just scroll down on the homepage. It just says what to do. You download the software, you invite your friends, and you index some records.
Have you ever done it before?
I have not. My kids have. Have
it's
you?
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's sort of like treasure hunting because you have to try and like read the penmanship of old people.
Yes.
And I'm like, is that an F?
No,
I think that's an F.
Because their S's look really weird.
Right.
So I've done it like old school.
Mm-hmm.
Like go to the library at
BYU. I'm not sure what that is.
Right? It's terrible. And maybe that's why I kind of am averse to doing it But I know that it's, you know, kids are really into it. Adults are really into it. And this makes it a lot easier. So if you sign up with you can sign up with your email address to receive updates. And what's really cool is at the bottom of that of the web page, it there's kind of like an interactive, like just this, I don't know, interactive thing you can do, and it's like here are the steps. It's really easy, and you know click on the pen and drag it to the priest's hand, and you know, just a little animated thing that's fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so go ahead and do that. Get ready to do some indexing. I submit that if you are like me and have not done it, this is a great time to learn. Get your kid or my kid or some kid to show you how it's done.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to do it,
stop running around chasing Pokemons. Let's do some indexing, kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
You don't know what the Pokemon is?
Yes, I do. It's
I was
all
gonna
I've
say.
Seen. It's all I've seen, and I'm
that
like,
kid,
I don't.
You know what the Pokemon Go is, right?
Yeah.
Will your mom let you play it?
I've never played it, but I've heard of it on YouTube, and I really want to play it.
Yeah. You know what? Your mom said that if you clean your room and you treat her with lots of respect, you still don't get to play, but she'll really appreciate it if you clean your room. And I'm just teasing. Maybe you can talk her into it then, right?
Yeah.
I feel like she'd let you. If you were really good, I figure like she'd let you.
We'll
and on the train ride home?
We can look for all the things at
see?
The stops, at the places,
see?
At the churches, in the parks. That's all I've seen on.
I think it's cool to see people out doing stuff.
Yeah.
Anything that isn't shooting people.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure.
This is interesting. Musicians on YouTube. Mormon musicians.
YouTube?
Yeah.
Why? What's YouTube?
YouTube is a... Does your mom really not know what YouTube is, you think?
I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, so here they are. These are folks for you to check out. Nick Day. He has his debut EP that was released earlier this year. His most popular music video is a cover of Maroon 5's Daylight.
Mm-hmm.
You can find a link to this, by the way, at theculturalhall.com. Maddie Wilson. She does a country flair on popular songs. She did a cover of Taylor Swift's We Are Never Getting Back Together.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it was popular. Rob Landis, he's an award-winning violinist who recently won Utah's Next Big YouTuber contest.
At CVX Live. Did we go to that, Bub?
Not for the Next Big YouTuber.
Yeah, you were there the day before. I was there for Rob winning. It was great.
He also was part of the Disney Young Musicians Symphony Orchestra, the Utah Symphony, and the BYU Chamber Orchestra.
So he's very good.
Stephanie Mabee. You may not know her name, says this article, but you might know her. She's the original writer and singer of the song Glorious.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Meet the Mormons. She's been working on new music for a while and has an EP coming out. Her most popular music video is one of her originals, which is the Zombie Song. So you can check that out. Monica Scott, she's a stay-at-home mom, plays and arranges the piano music. Best known for her arrangements of LDS hymns, and her first album is called Reflections, so check that out. Tren... T-R-E-N.
Huh.
It's a group of BYU students who have a unique focus on creating music for major motion pictures.
Hmm.
Their most popular music video is called Live or Survive, and it was inspired by The Hunger Games.
Okay.
Check that out.
Yeah.
A couple more. Tyra and Sander. Tyra Orgel and Sander Morrison. They're two 15-year-old teens who play the piano and the violin. They create beautiful compositions of LDS hymns and popular classic songs. Most popular from theirs is Homeward Bound. I'm guessing the
Simon and Garfunkel. Sure.
Eleni. It's a group of three sisters, Saleh, Desi, and Ari.
Okay.
Spell any of those names and you win.
Mm-hmm.
They perform a lot of covers of both popular music and LDS hymns. Their mashup of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and If You Could Hide a Kolob is their most popular video.
Okay.
And then Paul Cardall, previous guest here in the Cultural Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Number one Billboard pianist, known within the LDS community. However, his YouTube channel has amazing content that you may not get anywhere else. His music video called Life and Death is his most popular, and you can check it out. So there's a list of 10. Go check it out. And if there are other folks, let us know. Maybe we should get them in the Cultural Hall here.
Yeah, I know Rob mentioned this last week, but I'll talk to the piano gal.
Yes, please.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before, about how there's kind of a great LDS presence in the YouTube community.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's neat to see.
What else do you have?
Have you seen Meet the Mormons?
Yeah, it's a film.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have premiered, what, a year and a half, two years ago?
2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, right around.
Had the director on, Six Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
Some,
yeah, full-length feature film. It's right being shown at the Legacy Theater, which is on Temple Square, you know, coming soon.
They're doing a Meet the Mormons 2?
Meet the Mormons 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Is it 2 T-O-O?
Ooh, snap. Nope, it is not.
Do you know the stories of these?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, I do.
What? Who are they this time?
We'll see on Saturday.
Okay.
Is what.
Okay.
Yeah. This week, right now, is premiere week, and there will be several screenings throughout the week here locally. You're going to go to one. I'm going to go to one
on Friday night.
Yep. Same here, and so's Rob.
DJ Rob, please.
DJ Rob, pardon me.
He's a DJ, in case of you.
Wait. Whoa.
If you ever need him
back
to
up.
DJ an event, I've heard he does that. If you haven't heard that, just ask him.
Is that why I saw him being a DJ at Jason Lyle Black's thing?
Yeah,
that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes more sense now.
Yeah.
Because he's
a
DJ.
Yeah.
Noted. Okay, so this is like, you know, special premiere screening week, but starting on Saturday, it will be available to the public. It's shorter. There are, I believe, five stories this time. But yeah. Same kind of format. And
is there a sketchy Mormon? I hope there's a sketchy Mormon in this one.
That's the title, Sketchy Mormon.
Like, you introduce the family, and then it's like halfway through, it's like, is he or isn't he?
Black sheep Mormon.
Yeah. I relate to this Mormon.
I love it. The site will be updated.
Steve Martin, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
All these profiles. Shoot, and then
spoiler alert.
Steve Martin. No!
I really am.
Tom Hanks. Is it Tom Hanks?
Oh, gosh. It should be.
Yeah.
We'll get him. We'll have this link at theculturalhall.com. It's meetthemormons.com. And yeah, just this afternoon, the site will be updated with information
about the new people.
About Electric Boogaloo. Also, there is an MP3 giveaway.
Okay.
For this MP3 of I Am a Child of God by Bless 4.
Okay.
Which is like the Osmonds, but current and in Japan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
Current.
Japanese.
In Japan.
Japanese.
Bless 4.
Japanese Osmonds Bless 4.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that will be available at that
That's
website.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's great.
MeetTheMormons.com.
MeetTheMormons.com.
Okay.
And it's not really Electric Boogaloo. I hope you're old enough to get that reference, anybody listening.
I looked up Electric Boogaloo, and it was something else.
That was not
completely
not Meet the Mormons. What's a boogaloo anyway?
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is restricting missionary work in Russia after a new law in that country limits proselyting. The law prohibits, quote, sharing faith in homes, online, or anywhere but recognized church buildings, according to Christianity Today. The LDS Church released a prepared statement on the news. The church recognizes a new law will take effect in Russia on July 20th that will have an impact on missionary work. The church will honor, sustain, and obey the law. Missionaries will remain in Russia and will work within the requirements of these changes, the faith statement said. The church will further study and analyze the law and its impact as it goes into effect. The law, signed by President Vladimir Putin as part of a counterterrorism effort, severely limits religious missionary activities. People who preach, pray, or disseminate materials in private residences can be deported and fined as much as $15,000 under the new law. The new measures, which take effect July 20th, also opened the door for increased social media and phone surveillance and adds punishment for online extremism. Jeez. LDS missionaries have worked in Russia since the early 1990s. The LDS Church has more than 22,000 members in Russia, according to the Mormon Newsroom.
How many missions include Russia? I mean, are there any that go... There are missions that cross country boundaries.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So is that, I wonder, man, that must have been a real, like a scramble, right? To have that law come down and then, you know, if it says that the missionaries are still doing missionary work there, but just within the laws, because we believe in honoring and sustaining the laws of the land and all that.
Well, and I feel like they probably are just having to be like, guys, seriously, I know that you think that you're going to be like extra blessed for trying to do this, but let's not.
Yes.
Let's do the church and all of us a huge favor. There's a bunch. So there's the Russia-Moscow mission.
Okay.
The Novosibirsk mission. The Rostov-Don-Danu mission. The St. Petersburg mission. The Samara mission. The Vladivostok mission. And the Yekaterinburg mission. So seven missions in Russia.
Okay.
Which will be affected by that.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, at least sort of affected the Ukraine. There's three missions in the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And what it sounds like, though, is that you can't, except for in the privacy of church buildings.
Yeah.
So it'll have to be member missionary work and let's meet them at the church.
Yeah. Like bring them to the church. That's where we can do this.
Yep.
Yikes. Wow. So
that's a whole different change.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's a big call to the members.
So get on it, Russia.
Jump on it.
Jump on it, Boogaloo.
Tonto.
What do you got? I got one more story and I'm done.
Oh, I've got a couple.
Okay.
So we've talked, I think, about Ruby Girl,
mm-hmm.
the website, online blog magazine where LDS young women from all over the world gather to exchange ideas, work through problems, share faith, and build friendships. We believe in living the gospel joyfully while cultivating belonging and inclusion, is there about. I took note of an article that they published called Wicked Mormons.
Okay.
What? Have you heard of the musical Wicked?
I'm not sure.
Okay. If you haven't, I'm not sure where you've been the last 13 years.
But if I knew it. But if I knew it, then I'd been changed for good.
For good.
Good.
Since the opening of the show, it has spread like wildfire across the world. And now you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who can't at least hum a few bars of Defying Gravity. Hum? Try belt.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a couple of friends who are especially familiar with the show. When you scroll through the social media accounts of Kelly Erdman and Megan Masako Haley, you see a couple of beautiful, spunky girls living the dream, always in cute outfits, always writing witty captions. Together, they performed in the national touring cast of Wicked. Megan as Nessa Rose and Kelly as an ensemble member. But that wasn't their first rodeo. Megan is based in New York, performing in countless shows since a young age, and has recently been seen on TV in Younger, Blue Bloods, and Broad City. Kelly is LA-based and has danced her whole life with TV and commercial credits, including Glee, The Fosters, Adidas, Samsung, and more. And then, oh yeah, and they're both active Mormons. So this
they're really
is
cute too.
Yeah, yeah. They so what we will do is we'll post a link to this interview because they. The rest of this article is an interview with both of these women, and it's
just talk about their faith and doing the show and mm-hmm. being an active Mormon and how that is, and all
which
that.
I love because it you know it's living a professional life in the creative arts doesn't have to be in conflict with living an active LDS lifestyle.
No, you got to pick one or the other.
Yep. Yeah.
When are you going to grow up and get a real job?
That's a whole different can, isn't it? So, but yeah, and I, it's great. I'm really excited about this article. Megan, the one that plays Nessa Rose in the tour, she and I were in a show together in Orem a couple years ago.
I didn't know you acted.
I don't.
Did you know Rob's a DJ?
No.
What's your other story?
That's one of them. Oh, my next one?
Mm-hmm.
What I wish I'd put on my husband list as a young woman.
Did you have a husband list?
I did. And so this is what I'm wondering. If you're aware of it, if they still do it, if you know about it, if you have known about it. There's this kind of like stereotype of young women lessons from 20, 30 years ago. Where it's just like, well, you know, you need to write down a list of the characteristics and qualities you want in a husband.
It's kind of a smart thing, though.
Sure, yeah, to have that in mind, because especially at that age, as you're preparing to date and you actually are dating, who you date is who you marry, right?
Right.
I mean, that's just how it goes. So
yeah, you're not typically marrying someone that you've never dated.
Right. But what I mean by that is, you know, if it's just kind of this like, well, I don't like these things, but then, you know, you keep dating, you keep seeing people, you fall in love. So
right.
You gotta.
You can love things that aren't necessarily the best for you.
Right. Exactly. So this article that we will have linked on theculturalhall.com. Like many young women sitting in Sunday school, I felt a sense of giddiness when we were instructed to think of the qualities we wanted most in a future spouse. You likely remember the lesson. We giggled and planned and made commitments to dating within our standards and finding a spouse that would help lead us to God. I was oblivious in so many innocent ways. For years, I kept that list. It went through a few revisions over the years, but largely remained the same. However, as I've gotten older, and I don't know the age of this author, I realized how superfluous much of my list was. Over time, I found it growing shorter and shorter. Looking back, I don't think the things on that list were bad or misguided. I just know more now. As I continue my search for an eternal companion, I'm grateful for the lessons I've learned and the amendments I've made to the list with the help of the Spirit and experience. So here's what she, here are the things that she lists. I think there are four. The first one is, he'll be as committed to the gospel journey as I am. In the church, we sometimes use vague qualifiers to determine faithfulness. For example, it's easy to write down return missionary or temple recommend holder when thinking of a future spouse.
Right.
However, there are return missionaries who don't live gospel standards and temple recommend holders that don't ever make the time to go. No matter his past, a faithful man is presently committed to living the gospel with fervor. He recognizes the road to eternal joy is a long one and prepared to walk it in faith, notwithstanding weaknesses and trials. The second one she writes is, he'll be without guile.
The guy from Street Fighter?
Mm-hmm.
Guile!
Jeez.
Guile
is defined as having a cunning intelligence or being sly. In the scriptures, it is often used to describe someone who isn't genuine and seeks to get gain through duplicity. A man without guile has no ulterior motives. He doesn't feel the need to put others down or change his personality around different groups of people. He doesn't seek to manipulate others or try to be something he isn't to gain attention. He expresses love and interest purely and simply. The third thing.
Well, I have guile.
Mm,
oh,
shoot. You're with guile.
I'm totally with guile. I'm going to make a t-shirt.
A t-shirt. I'm with guile.
I'm with guile.
Brilliant. Please, somebody make
no
that shirt.
No one will make that t-shirt. That's so obscure.
I'm guile. I'm with guile.
I'm with guile.
He'll be slow to anger. In society at large, we often find romanticized examples of extreme masculinity, which promotes aggressive, dominant behavior. At first, a bit of protectiveness can be appreciated. On the other end of the scale, however, are some scary statistics. Staggeringly, 1 in 3 women will experience domestic violence in her lifetime. Domestic violence is also the leading cause of injury for women between the ages of 15 and 44 in the U.S. For any man, the idea of his wife or child being abused should make him sick. Christ didn't tell us to be meaner, tougher, stronger. He told us to be meek and as a little child. A righteous husband isn't easily angered or offended. He strives to convey when he is upset in a way that opens up effective communication. While troubles will need to be worked through, contention will be avoided. She also says he'll provide emotional safety. Avoiding contention is just one piece of the puzzle. Emotional safety is paramount for building trust and vulnerability in a relationship. You should feel completely safe sharing your thoughts, dreams, feelings, and fears with your significant other without facing reprisal or judgment. You won't fear he'll leave you if you share something that makes you feel ashamed or difficult. He will respect you and treat you with dignity. He won't speak unkindly about you to others and will avoid insulting you in public, even in jest. He'll be interested. A lot of people think that in order to be compatible, you need to share similar interests. While finding mutual activities can be a great way to strengthen a relationship, it's more important to be interested. It doesn't mean he'll try to love everything you love or everything you enjoy. It does mean he'll be open to new experiences, willing to learn more about what's important to you, simply because he's interested in you. You won't have to compete for his attention when you're with him or fight to have him spend time with you. And he won't be a battle I have to win. This is the last one. I think it's interesting. Maybe it's a mix of our strong desires and a recent study that show Mormons are in a modern dating crisis, but many single LDS women feel they have to fight 5 other girls for someone they're interested in. Sure, it's important to make your interests known and strive to build relationships with others. We need to put our best foot forward and make an effort. However, if I see a lengthy battle looming for your heart, it tells me you're not really that interested. This is especially true if I notice I start to question my standards, my looks, my self-worth. You'll want to get to know me. You'll be confident in letting me know. You won't string me along, and you'll make your intentions clear. We'll be excited to express our shared interest in one another and explore a deeper, more fulfilling relationship. And then she asks, you know, what have you realized are most essential when looking for a spouse?
Hot.
Mm-hmm.
Definite looks.
Good dancer.
Yeah, good dancer.
Mm-hmm. Rich.
Water drinker. Huge fan of water.
Rich.
Huge fan. Yeah, rich.
Loaded.
Rich and loaded. I'd like him to both be rich and loaded.
Boom.
Do you have any more stories, or is that it?
I do.
What other one do you have?
There are church pageants. The Tabernacle Choir is going on thing. The
Tabernacle
tour.
Choir is going on tour, and the church pageants are starting. Okay.
Blah, blah.
I took care of that article.
Okay. And the one about that's like an op-ed sort of.
About what?
About the destruction of the family, American style.
Oh, I think we should get into that. Maybe we discuss. Let's put that out on the Facebook page.
Okay.
And then maybe we touch that next week.
Okay. And for those who might be listening to this week in particular, Articles of News, looking for something, some sort of recognition of or acknowledgement of the tragedies that have happened in the past week with the shootings, that's what this is. And so please go to our Facebook page for a discussion about that and how we as members of this church should proceed.
Yeah. I want to end on this because I thought it was interesting. It's from Robert Kirby from the Salt Lake Tribune. Headline, what I've learned from Mormon leaders since I officiated a gay wedding.
I read this yesterday and I cheered.
He says, tomorrow will be exactly a month since I officiated a gay wedding. I married Andrew Romerell, not the guy from Book of Mormon.
Not that one.
And Jedediah Smith, he did that in a rainstorm. He says, that is Robert Kirby, I'm happy to report that they are still married and still in love. I'm equally pleased to report that I'm still Mormon. I bring this up to address the issue of being asked if I'd been excommunicated, disfellowshipped, or otherwise disciplined by the LDS Church, which does not approve of gay marriage. Immediately after the column ran on the 11th of June, 2016, readers sent emails and letters and even posted on the comment section that I had finally crossed the line by marrying two gay men. Here's what happened, officially. Keep in mind that these are the exact quotes from the church leaders in the days following the wedding. The bishop said, hi, Robert. The stake president said, good to see you, Brother Kirby. Area 70 said, nothing. 70 said, zip. President of the 70 said, nada. Quorum of the 12 said, zero. First presidency, silence. I've been counseled, lectured for marrying a gay couple far more by non-ex indifferent Mormons than I have been by my own church. I'm not so clueless as to believe that there haven't been grumbles from some church leaders about what I've done, but if I was in real trouble, I'm not that hard to find. They could call me on the phone, stop by the house, or just latch on to me at church. My bishop lives right next door. Even if they summoned me for a chat, I wouldn't complain. I'm an idiot. I get jacked all the time by my editor, wife, the police, and various other organizations that are more or less tolerate my presence. I fail to see why it would be any different at church. If the church did pull me in for some counseling or a court o' love, I wouldn't hold a press conference. Likewise, I wouldn't answer media questions. It would happen like this. Them. Mr. Kirby, is it true that you were subjected to a church spanking? Me. You sons of... Get the hell off my lawn. I've been counseled a couple of times before. The first time was in 1996 for writing a column that said I wasn't afraid of church leaders because they're old and that I could beat up President Gordon B. Hinckley. My stake president at the time was not known for having a ripping sense of humor, especially about the church. He told me to meet with him in his office. Him. Robert, you wrote a column where you said you could beat up our prophet. Me. Yeah, I can. The second time was for using the word but so often in a column that specialized in church behavior. Him. It's a vulgar word and you should stop using it altogether. Me. Well, I'm not going to. And that was that. No yelling, threats, lectures, or anything that kept me from going to church whenever I felt like it, which is where I'll be today. I'll be in church for the same reason I might marry more gay couples, because I feel like it, and, more importantly, because the aggravation from people who don't think / believe the way that I do isn't sufficient to make me quit.
I love that. Love it, love it, love it.
If you want to get in touch with Robert Kirby, it's rkirby@sltrib.com or facebook.com/ still not Pat Bagley, which I love so much. All right, are you ready, Quinn?
Yep.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
Happy Missionary Monday.
Thanks for the moisture.
Thank you to you, Quinn, for being here today. Remember, you can always email us, contact@theculturalhall.com. If you want to be a part of any of the episodes, you want to see them be recorded or mm-hmm. listen in, or if you have suggestions of episodes, you can always contact us there.
And follow us at The Cultural Hall on Instagram and Twitter.
And Pinterest.
And Pinterest. And if there's anyone that's sick or otherwise afflicted, couldn't listen this week, hope you can listen next week.
In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you
on the back row
of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat on the back row.